for reminding us the great sacrifice that our Savior did for us. And boy, without that sacrifice, where would we be, folks? And I'm so thankful for that, and I know you are too today as we celebrate the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Well, Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day is always an interesting day to preach because you want to preach a word of encouragement, but also a word of challenge. I'm thankful in the Bible there are several mothers that made a difference. Aren't you thankful for the sacrifice that Moses' mother did for him as she put him in the bulrushes, protecting him and teaching him of the faith? And when he was just a little baby, she wanted to make sure he was taken care of. We see the sacrificial love of a mother who appeared before King Solomon and told him that she was willing to have her son taken away by another woman, because remember, they both said, "This is my son." So what did he say? "Well, I'm going to just cut the baby in two." But one mother who really loved said, "I would rather you give this mother the son." That showed King Solomon who the real mother was, by the way. Aren't we glad for that? James and John had a mother who loved them, even though she was a little bit selfish, because she wanted one to sit on the Lord's right side and one to sit on his left side in the kingdom, but yet she loved her sons. We find in Proverbs 31, I'm not going to preach from that today, so don't turn there, but if you ever want to see an idea of a mother, what a mother's supposed to be, it's found in Proverbs 31. But a lot of people don't know that that Proverbs was written to King Lemuel by the mother was giving her son words of encouragement and telling him how he needs to live his life. But then she said to him, "This is the type of lady that you're looking for. And a woman that loves the Lord is more valuable than rubies or diamonds." And then it said, "Blessed is that woman. She's a lady of wisdom. She's a lady who works hard, takes care of her children. She's a lady that loves the Lord, follows after the Lord." And then it said, "Your children will rise up and call you blessed." I know many of us today would be able to stand and say, "I am so thankful for my mom." Where would we be if it wasn't for our mothers? Maybe today there's some here that for some reason you have not been able to be a mother. But I want you to know God knows your heart today. I know we've had several families in our church because they weren't able to have children, have adopted children. And I'm so thankful for the sacrifice that they show for their children. Perhaps there's some mother here today that is going through a very difficult time. Some maybe this last year have lost your mother. And this is a very difficult day, Mother's Day, for you. Maybe some mother's here who has a wayward child. And you're saying, "Boy, I wish they would come home." Don't ever give up on them, by the way. Don't ever give up on them. Keep praying. Nurture their faith. Keep lifting them up. That's so very important. There was a study that was done several years ago, and it appeared in the New York Mirror, enlisted 10 suggestions for parents from juvenile delinquents. These were young people who had gotten in trouble with the law, and they had been incarcerated or put into juvenile detention. And they said, "What would you want to say to your parents or to your mother?" And here's the 10 things that they would say. Listen to them. Number one, "Don't always give us our way." Parents, did you hear that today? You're not supposed to always give your child their way. They got to learn that there's some things that they earn, and there's some things that are very important that we give away, like love, but Don't give them everything they ever want. Be firm, but fair in discipline. Wow. Think about that just a minute. Make me feel wanted. I don't know if y'all saw, but I saw an article even this yesterday. I was reading on Fox News. They have done a study and showed about how there's an epidemic in America today of young girls who have been taken and sold into slavery, sex trade, okay? And you know who these young girls, you know who they are? They're young girls that have met people online, and because their parents did not show them attention, they were looking for someone to show them attention, and they got to talking to someone online not knowing who they were. You can read that article, by the way. Very, very interesting article. Not knowing who they were, and they agreed to meet them. They captured them, and they put them into that trade. That's happening, by the way, not people from overseas. That's happening in America, folks. We can stick our head in the sand if we want to, but it's happening in America. Make your child feel wanted. The fourth thing they would say is teach us to work and get along with others. I think one of the greatest lessons my parents taught me was to work. There's nothing wrong with a good work ethic, amen? My dad found there was a man that owned a barbershop in Austin, Texas, where my dad pastored, and he owned a barbershop, and he went to him one day and said, "Hey, you need someone to shine shoes, don't you, in this barbershop?" He said, "You know what, I've been thinking about buying a shoe stand." He said, "Well, my son would love to come to work for you." So that was one of my first jobs, shining shoes in a barbershop. I'd ride the Austin bus there in Austin Junior High. I'd ride the city bus over to that strip mall. I would shine shoes in the afternoon till he closed at night. And then I'd get there on Saturday from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night shining shoes. Made 25 cents a shine. Boy, I was in high dollars, folks. Sometimes I'd get an extra quarter. They would tip me an extra quarter. But I'm thankful for parents who taught me how to work. Deal with and punish infractions of the family rules. Wow. Parents, our children need parameters. You realize that? They're looking for boundaries. But see, if they cross the boundary, they need to have consequences to crossing that boundary. Listen to our side in arguments. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is listen to your children. That's very important. Carefully monitor our friends. Hello? Folks, we have people that are letting their children go out with people they don't even know who they are, where they're going, what they're being a part of. I don't know if y'all read the article. I was reading about it just recently about a young man who was going to be one of the greatest stars. He is an up-and-coming football player, 14 years old. He had gone to his junior high. I was reading about this recently, and they were going to go over to a party, and he ends up at the wrong party because he followed some people he shouldn't have followed. And at that party, he was shot and killed, 14 years old. Don't let us stay out late at night. I know the students are going to love me on this one. But you know what? I don't know about you. When I was growing up, when I took my date out, my parents wanted me to have them out, dropped off, and back to the house by 10 o'clock. Now, I know some of you are rolling your eyes right now at me. But you know, there's a lot of bad things that happen after 10 o'clock. Do you remember when Channel 8 used to say, "Parents, do you know where your children are?" The problem is, we don't know where our children are today. We ought to know. Number 9, don't spare the rod. Okay? All discipline doesn't have to be with a belt. I remember my younger brother at my mom's funeral. She never did this to me. I guess I was just a wonderful little boy. But at my mom's funeral, he said she used to carry a belt in her purse. And in church, if he started acting up, she'd open up that belt, let it, up her purse and let him see that belt. And all he had to do is she just had to open it, and he saw it, he straightened up. Because he knew he was going to go out and get in trouble. And the last thing, give more time to family-centered activities. Parents, we can get caught up in our work. We can get caught up in our own hobbies. We get caught up in our own little lives that we forget our children. Remember, there's one thing about having children. There's another thing about raising them. We have a responsibility. Today, if you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I want to look at a grandmother and a mother and a boy. There was a mother named Eunice, and there was a grandmother named Lois. Now, if you read the scripture, you have to follow the scripture. It's implied because they probably met the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey as he was going through Galatia, probably there around Lystra, is where they came in contact with him and they met the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. They met the Lord, and a wonderful thing happened. God was working in their life. Now, along the way, whenever he goes back to the second missionary journey, you can read about in Acts chapter 16, you see that he comes across a young man there. His name is Timothy, okay? And Timothy, probably because of the witness of his grandmother and mother, had come to faith in the Lord. And not only did he come to faith in the Lord, I want to read that part for you in the book of Acts. I want to read that part because it's a wonderful part. Here's what it says. Then came he to Derbe, referring to Paul and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Notice what he's called. He wasn't called the son or the grandson. He was called a disciple. By the way, you know a disciple is a Christ follower. Apparently, because of the witness of a grandmother and a mother, a young man comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, we find that he was reported well among the brethren. In other words, Paul was going to take him to be a part of the missionary journey. And we know that Timothy is used of God in a powerful way. He was the pastor, we know, at Ephesus, and we know that the Apostle Paul writes to him two different books, 1 and 2 Timothy, is challenging him in the faith to keep going on in the ways of God. I'm thankful for mothers and grandmothers who take the time to teach the children the most important thing, and the most important thing, listen to me, mothers today, grandmothers and parents, the most important thing you can teach your child is about God. The most important thing you can train them in is the ways of God. And may I give you three things I want you to see today. First of all, I believe we need to instill in them a respect for the Word of God. A respect for the Word of God. If you have a copy of the scripture, go there to chapter 3 if you would. Chapter 3, verse 12, it says this. Yea, all that we that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's talking to Timothy. He says, hey, there's been things that have been taught to you. You were taught by your mother and your grandmother, because look at verse 15. It says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Can you imagine that? The mother and the grandmother had taught young Timothy the things concerning God. From the time that he was an infant, he was taught the scriptures. By the way, may I tell you, church, it isn't too young to teach children the scriptures. You could teach them, you can sing to them the wonderful songs we sung to us. How about Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we teach that to our children. They're learning from us every single day in our actions, but also we can teach them and instill in them the Word of God. Do you remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 119? He says, wherewithal, verse 9, shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And the verse, it says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And then over in verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen to me today, church. We got to instill in our children this word right here. This is the most important book that's in your house. It's more important than a science book. It's more important than a math book. It's more important than an algebra book. This book will transform your children's life if you'll train them and instill in them the scriptures concerning the Lord. By the way, can you imagine the stories that young Timothy learned? I'm sure they taught him about Samson. I'm sure they taught him about Samuel and David. How about Ruth? How about Abraham and Noah? The stories of the Word of God that was instilled in them. And mothers, I want you to know today that we have a responsibility to teach them the ways of God. I love our Awana Club at church, by the way. Because you know what? At 3 years old, they can start Awana. Awana is taken from the scripture that's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says there, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May I tell you, as I told them earlier, this is the best book to raise a child with. You could teach them about the love of God, about the grace of God. You could teach them about discipline. You could teach them about how they're to respect their parents. And children that are listening today, you're to honor your father and your mother. But I love it when my granddaughter, 3 years old, on Wednesday night comes up to me and she gives me her verse. You say, oh, they can't learn a verse at 3 years old, Brother Jerry. Oh, yes, they can. And by the way, they can learn a whole lot of other things at 3 years old, too. In fact, they become a little recorder. So parents, you better be careful what you say. Hello? Isn't that true? It is true. We got to be careful. But we're to instill in them the scripture. We're to teach them the ways of God. You remember over in the book of Deuteronomy, Chapter 6, whenever we find that the commandment that the Lord gives them, what did he give them? He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord God, he is one. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your strength. This is the very important commandment. And remember later on, when they were trying to tempt Jesus, saying, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? Remember what Jesus says? Well, this is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And the second in like of that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to me today, church. One thing we need to teach our children, we need to teach them to love the Lord. I remember as a young child, my parents taught me to love God. They taught me to memorize the Word of God, by the way. And I'm thankful for that today. When we went to Vacation Bible School when I was a kid, we didn't learn one verse a day. We learned about 5 verses a day. And by the end of the week, we had about 25 verses memorized. So, oh, that's too hard. Well, we were able to do it. I think kids today are smarter than we were in that day. They can run every kind of computer and every kind of iPod and whatever all those I things are. But you ought to instill in them the scripture, folks. We're to train them in the ways they're to go. The Bible says if we'll train them, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. We need to train them. We need to instill in them the scripture. I'm thankful for Eunice and Lois, this grandmother and mother who said, listen, we're going to train young Timothy. And apparently they did a real good job, because when Paul came back on that second missionary journey, they said he found a man, Timothy, who was a disciple, who was a follower, who was a Christ follower, who went to work with the Apostle Paul in the work of the ministry, and God used him in a mighty way, church. Not only are we to instill in them the Word of God, secondly, may I tell you today, we're to instill in them an authentic faith. Authentic faith. You say, where do you get that from? Well, go back to chapter 1, would you? Go back to chapter 1. Look at what it says. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. You see what he's trying to say there? He's saying, listen, I remember that faith. And by the way, this Greek word carries the idea of an unhypocritical faith. Now follow me here today, parents. We can't teach our children something on Sunday and not live it on Monday. We can't say, hey, this is how you're supposed to live your life. Now, I'm not living my life that way, but still you're supposed to live it that way. We're to be examples for them. We're to show them what it means to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We're to show them what it means to follow after God. Real faith, not a fake faith. And by the way, let me tell you something. Kids can pick up on that. They know whether someone's love is genuine. They know whether someone's faith is genuine. You know what the problem is? The problem today is that the children are looking at us who are parents, and they're saying, hey, what they're saying here is not what's happening in the real world we live in. And by the way, those ought to match up. What they see on Sunday, they ought to see on Monday. Amen? They ought to see it on not only Monday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day of the week. We're to instill in them the genuine faith, folks, to take faith seriously. We're to raise them up in such a way that it honors God. It's a serious faith that Timothy was taught. We ought to have a long conversation with them, talking about how important your faith is. See, here's what I'm convinced. We need parents today who their children's souls are more important than their clothes that they put on their body. We need parents today that their children's eternal life is more important than their success in life. We need parents today whose children's relationship with Jesus is more important than their popularity in the world. We need parents today whose children's standing with God is more important than their social standing. We need parents today whose children's spirituality is more important than their intellectual, music, or athletic accomplishments. Now, we have parents, that are more important about their child, more important for them to throw a baseball or throw a football or kick a soccer ball. They want to train them and spend with them on that. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff, by the way. But let me tell you what, when you leave the spiritual out, you've left the most important thing out. We live in a world today that we're in trouble, folks. We live in a world that people are turned aside from God. And we need people of faith. We need parents of faith. We need praying mothers and fathers. I'm a benefactor of a praying mother. My mom prayed for me every day of her life. And I thank God for that. I want to show I thank God for that. Because it's because of the prayers of my parents that I'm able to stand here today and preach the Word of God. It's because of the prayers of my parents that God allowed me to be a part of the ministry. It was because of the prayers of my parents and their encouragement that encouraged me to continue in the ways of God. Not only must we instill with them the respect for the Scripture, instill in them an authentic faith. Thirdly, we must instill in them a desire to minister. Now follow me this very closely today, church. After Paul had preached there at Lystra, we find young Timothy. He's going to come and he's going to want to serve the Lord. He's called a disciple here. May I tell you something, folks? Isn't it great when we do things and we bring our children that they can see what we're doing? Some of the things we do in our church, we can do that. How about this August when we hand out school supplies? You know, we have several of our children up here. I want to encourage you to be here and bring your children. To be able to hand out school supplies to children and shoes and groceries. What a blessing it is. It's good to see them ministering and serving folks. That's one of the greatest things you can learn. As a child, I think, is my dad took me with him all the time. I remember when Hurricane Beulah blew through there in Brownsville. I was in high school then. And I remember my dad, he didn't want to leave. It was going to be one of those, in fact, the winds were so great that the wind measure just broke. They didn't know how high the winds were back then. That was back in the 60s, folks. I know every tree in our yard was down. You know what my dad did? He said, hey, those people in Mexico that live by the levee, they're flooded. We're going to gather up as much money as we can, and we're going to get Masarina, and we're going to get frijoles, and we're going to go over there and hand it out to those people. And guess who he took with him? Me and my brother. And we went with him. And he took us over there on that levee, and all day long, these people whose houses had been flooded out, they had lost everything, were lined up to get just a bag of Masarina to make tortillas and frijoles. That's how my dad taught me. We had an orphanage there in Mexico. Every Christmas Eve, we'd be at that orphanage. You can ask Andrew about that. Boy, they had the best tamales. I mean, they killed a hog for that time, you know. And you know what tamales, you know, it comes that meat right from the head there, the hog. It's good stuff, by the way. I love tamales even to this day. But what would we do on Christmas Eve instead of us being home, thinking about ourselves, rallying in our Christmas gifts? We'd be over at an orphanage where there were about 25 children. By the way, that orphanage now has grown to over 100 children. Several years ago, I got to go back and see it, and see it had several buildings. It used to have just one building, and God has blessed that. But to see these little kids and to know it's better, catch this, to give than receive. Listen to me, parents. One of the greatest things you could teach your children, it's better to minister to others than to receive themselves. Teach them the ways of God. Teach, instill in them the ministry that's so very important that they're available to God. Timothy was available to God, and God used him in a mighty way to be a missionary. Not all of us are going to be called to be a missionary, but all of us are called to minister. We need to instill in our children these things, and God will bless us above measure. I close with these things. I want you to hear this. Our children are going to follow us. You know that, parents? They're going to do exactly what we do. I read a story a while back in a book by Ed Young, and it's a great book, by the way, parents. I would suggest you pick it up. It's called 10 Commandments for Parenting, Ed Young Sr., by the way. 10 commandments for parenting. And listen, he gave an illustration about a mother dog. She was going to expect some puppies. And one day, she got a little bit too close to the riding lawnmower. And the riding lawnmower cut her legs off. And the man took the dog to the vet, and the vet did his best, and one leg worked pretty good, but the other leg, it just had to do a hop. When it walked, it just do it like that. You know what? She had those puppies, and guess what? Every one of those puppies, she went out one day for a walk, and you know what? You could see that mom. She was walking down there, and it just like this. And guess what? Every one of those puppies walked the same way. You'd see them walking like that. Why? Because they were watching their mother. They thought that was the way they were supposed to walk. Parents, may I tell us today, our children are watching us. What do they see in us? Now, my time's up. I know we had a lot of things going on today, but listen to me. The greatest decision anybody can make is putting their faith and trust in Jesus. And there might be someone here today that's never given your life to Christ. And we'd be remiss today if we didn't give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You say, well, I'm just visiting. Doesn't matter whether you're visiting, you've been here 10 times. We had a man saved last Sunday. Brother Harold Flowers right back here. Praise God. Remember, Dr. Kroon was talking to him after service. We were just dealing with him, talking to him. Praise God, he met the Lord last Sunday night. He walked this aisle and made a profession of faith. God did a great work. But I'm going to tell you, there might be someone here today that's never given your life to Christ. I'm going to invite you this morning to come and take a pastor by the hand. All you got to do is say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And they're going to sit down with you right here on these front chairs, and they're going to explain to you how you can understand what it means to come to Christ. How you understand that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. How you understand that you must put your faith, you must believe that Jesus died and rose again. Thirdly, you must believe that you must confess Him as your Savior and Lord. And by prayer, you can invite Him into your life. I invite you to come this morning. I invite you to come this morning and give your life to Christ. Maybe someone's here today, you're looking for a church home. I tell you what, we'd love to have you come be a part of Lane Prairie Baptist Church. We're not a perfect church because we're made up of people, but I'm going to tell you one thing about this church. We are a praying church. We're a caring church. Just like the note that was read earlier today, we take care of our own. If you want to be a part of a church like that, we invite you to come today. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you.